Briony is witness to...
Briony, tell us who Briony is.
Okay.
I mean, she's the central character here.
She's a 13-year-old girl. She's obsessed with the idea of becoming a writer. She's rather priggish, conceited, self-important. She lives a very privileged life. And she has an ambition to become a great novelist.
At 13?
At 13, she feels that she can put behind her all the kind of fairy stories she's been writing. She is now set on the path to becoming a mature novelist. And she witnesses a number of events, a crucial one late at night. And she gets it all wrong. And one of the reasons she gets it all wrong is that she has such a powerful imagination that for her, believing is seeing. Her understanding, her wish for order, too, causes her to completely misunderstand what she's seen and to send not only an innocent man to jail, but to wreck a love affair, which is what the central concern of the other part of this novel is. It's a love story that never quite makes it, like many love stories don't.
When I interview a novelist, there's always a struggle as to what you tell and what you don't tell.
Yeah, I know. I've given up on that.
So you've got to help me here. But, okay, there's a set piece. That's the first set piece.
Yeah.
The next set piece is Dunkirk, right?
Then there's Dunkirk,
in which...
this young man who's been fingered by Briony for a rape he never committed emerges from jail. He joins the army. He's in the infantry, and he is part of the... huge debacle of Dunkirk when the German army swept across France, advancing at 60 kilometers a day towards the coast, sweeping through Belgium, coming through the Ardennes, with the one place where everybody said the army could never come. Most of the British soldiers who never fired a shot all swept towards the coast. And
the last boat out.
Robbie's sort of slogging away with two corporals trying to reach the coast and reflecting then, usefully for me as a novelist, on everything that has gone on in between. And really then that is a story within a story, really. I'd find a different kind of language. The first part is written in a rather luxuriant prose.
Right.
And it's funny how when you write on the battlefield, the subordinate clause is of no use.
Yeah.
It's the single details, boldly stated, that seem to be the most useful.
You did not set out to write a novel about war.
No.
Or battles, or the observations of someone who sees and feels and experiences all that horror.
I knew, all through my writing life, I knew that one day I would try and do justice to my father's experience of Dunkirk. He was a dispatch rider. He rode a motorbike.
Right.
He got shot up in the legs. He teamed up with another fellow
whose arms were
useless.
Yeah.
And between them, they managed the controls of their bike, and they got to the coast. Such a couple actually overtake Robbie on his on his slog through.
Stealing from life, are you?
Yeah. Of course. And I knew one of these days I would get to this, and suddenly the structure of this novel opened a great gap. And there it was. And my great regret was that my father was not there to read it. He died in 1996. There he goes.
Yeah, but you had a chance to describe. You know, had you talked to him about that experience?
I taped him in 1989.
Knowing you'd want to use it, or
I couldn't bring myself to listen to the tape. I've never listened to the tape.
Wow.
I can't quite. One of these days I will. I know his story so well anyway. Yeah. I don't think it was anything that I missed. But I still can't quite sit down to the reality. He was a Scotsman, very strong Scots accent.
Yeah.
So I stepped round that one.
And Briony's now back in London.
Briony now 20 years old. It's 5 years on from 1935 when this novel opens. And she... as she gets older, she begins to get the full measure of what she did that night. And part of the beginning of her atonement is to not take her place at Cambridge and follow her older sister, Cecilia, into nursing. Now, Cecilia is the, her sister is the lover of Robbie,
right.
And it is their love affair that she has wrecked. And so the third part of this novel is about a young woman's experience of training to be a nurse. I had the good fortune of having the Imperial War Museum at my disposal and a marvelous document library up in the dome of that, where you can actually get young girls writing home. Even one letter I saw even had blotches of what looked like tears, because these were, a lot of them, very upper-class girls went into nursing. Real homebodies, never been away from home before. Nursing was a very militaristic sort of profession in its in the way it was structured. And suddenly these girls, coming from rather soft backgrounds, were in the most appalling sort of harsh and disciplinarian sort of cultures. Yet at the same time, learnt unthinking obedience, which got them through the most appalling scenes when suddenly, you know, as in Bryony's case, the hospital is filled with injured men coming from the front. She doesn't think, she doesn't pause, she just does what she's told.
You fall in love with your characters. Okay, love is a bad word, but maybe love. But Bryony, you are sort of, a lot of people who would criticize Bryony, you can't bear to do that, can you?
Well, I mean, the whole novel is a form of criticism of her.
Oh, of course it is.
It's true. I have to travel with her for 3 years, and she's my creation. She's my daughter, I suppose. Inevitably, yes, you do fall in love with these characters.
You say a wonderful...